89X, the new rock alternative. Welcome to Love Line
with Adam Carolla and Dr. Drew.
Would you sleep with sick women?
I may be pregnant, but I'm still a man.
Thank the unruly one.
It's indecent, it's vulgar, it's blasphemy.
I'm gonna write you till you can't stand up.
Come on, let's go down.
Loveline's meant for an adult audience. Loveline may contain sexually oriented content. Listener discretion is advised. Here's Loveline with Dr. Drew and Adam Carolla.
All right. Drew is so enthralled in the wonders of magic that he has neglected his duties as a talk show co-host. Go get Fiona, would you?
All right.
All right. Anyway, phone number 1-800-LOVE-191, fax number 310-854-4455. I'm Adam Carolla. That is Dr. Drew. He is a board-certified physician and addiction medicine specialist. And here comes Fiona Apple, everybody. Quite a star these days, Fiona is. Now, Fiona was on the radio show 6 months ago?
I have no idea. I have no sense of time anymore.
My bad. Well, it was less than a year, quite easily. And it
I'm all of a sudden on the show. I was just having a conversation in the hallway, and then they said, come in, and now I'm all of a sudden.
I know. We run things pretty loosely around here.
Yeah.
Anyway, congratulations on all the success since the last time we saw you. The first time Fiona came on, we'll just call it 5-6 months ago, there wasn't a big crowd out there that had gathered to get autographs and whatnot,
right.
If you noticed. Big difference a few months makes.
That's because I wasn't very famous then, but now that my album has sold more, I'm a better person, more people like me.
You know, I know you're saying that with your little tongue and your little cheek, but it's true. It's the way society works. It is sad, but it is true. But you know what, Fiona?
What?
I would have loved you anyway. If you didn't sell
you
one
hate
CD.
Me. You hate
what
me.
What do you mean? What are you talking about?
Okay.
What do you mean I hate you?
You hate me.
Why do you say that?
I know, but you hate me.
Oh, please, I do not.
I can see it.
Drew loves you.
I know Drew loves me. I love Drew.
I'm mildly infatuated with you, but certainly do not come close to hate. I know you're saying that in jest. You don't really think I hate you, do you?
Keep at him. Keep going.
Yeah,
no, this is good.
Why?
Yeah, I do.
Why? Why would I hate you?
I don't know. You just do.
You know, we were all...
Because what?
Why would
you
hate me?
What would your indicators be?
Well, I'm a completely and totally 100% negative person.
Right.
I'm a little brat.
Right.
And everyone hates me.
Oh, everybody?
Yeah.
No, not me.
Okay, good then.
No, you're doing it just right. Now, here's my thing about you, Fiona.
Oh, you have a thing about me?
Yeah, I'll tell you my thing.
Okay.
You're a quiet person.
Okay.
When you're, you know, not performing.
Yeah.
You're a busy person.
Yeah.
You're a tired person.
Yeah.
You're a little disoriented because, you know, they're running you ragged.
Yeah.
You're doing all these appearances and playing and whatnot.
Are you trying to say I look ragged?
No. You can't look ragged at 20.
Okay.
You really can't. But it's amazing how ragged...
A couple weeks. It's
amazing
to go back out on the road.
How ragged you can look at like 24. That's the scary part. But the point is I know you're a person who likes her space.
Yes.
You know?
Uh-huh.
And I know you don't like when people get in your face and
so you're saying
all
you
over
just try to not get in my face.
Yeah, try to give your space.
But I'm so much more fun when you get in my face.
I know, but that's like, it's like an on-air thing. I know we'll have our moment in the sun when the mic heats up, but when the mic is turned off and we're standing out in the hall,
oh.
I don't want to bug you.
Okay, I get it. So you're saying that you're completely different from everyone in Hollywood in the sense that when the microphone is on, you'll be my friend, but when it's off, don't talk to me.
I would like to talk to you when the mic is off, but I'm just giving you your space.
Okay.
That's all.
All right.
You know what I mean?
All right.
I don't want to get rejected. Well, you know what I'm saying.
You're just backpedaling all over the place. I don't know what the hell. I've never heard so much double talk in my whole life.
What are you talking about?
All right. Now, we were all at that studio at MTV a couple weeks ago, right?
Yeah.
How did he treat
when?
Was that, how long ago was that?
It seems like a couple of years ago, but it was a couple of weeks ago.
Wasn't it?
Oh, when we did the TV thing.
Right. And no. Just at that new thing at Times Square.
Yeah.
Oh.
You played live for the kickoff of the MTV studio.
Did I see you there?
Yeah, see, that's my point. See, I walked up and I said, hi,
I'm
Fiona.
Sorry, there was so much space around me that I just couldn't tell.
He mistreated you there. That's where you're getting your impressions from.
No, I did not. I was on a Serena, right, the news chick at that point.
But leaped across the hall onto Serena and left Fiona standing there while you were talking.
No, before I pounced on Serena, who, by the way, started the pouncing by coming over to me. That was her big mistake.
She was just walking down the hall.
She stopped and said her mom liked the TV show. Hey, Mike, shut Drew's microphone off for a minute. Would you have had enough out of him? All right, so Fiona, I saw Fiona, and I came over to Fiona. And, you know, Fiona's like a deer in the headlights, you know? I mean, there's a lot of stuff going on in her life right now.
I'm like a deer in the headlights?
Yeah. You're dazed and confused. I mean, you don't even know where you are right now. You're getting pulled a lot of different directions, right?
Well, yeah, that's true.
And you're a person, I mean, you're a smart, intellectual, somewhat introverted person, I would say,
mm-hmm.
who's had all of this fame and all of these accolades and all this input thrust upon you in a relatively short period of time.
Mm-hmm.
Am I right?
Yeah, I guess so.
Sometimes it's hard to process, isn't it?
I don't think it's hard to process, and therefore I don't process it, I think.
Right. So you just stand there with a sort of glazed look, yeah. And meanwhile, record reps and agents and managers and publicists and a-holes like myself all come by, and they all want to congratulate you, and they all want you to come do something for them.
I see. You're being a little bit, like, coolly standoffish.
Right.
I see.
Right.
You got my attention because you didn't give me attention.
That's right.
I fell victim to the classic hard-to-get game.
This is how I work all my relationships, too, by the way. I
so
try to ignore
really
whoever I'm with.
We don't need to take anyone's calls, actually. We can just work on our own little love line problems here right now. Cause
it is more important than any caller tonight. I totally agree with you on that. But I came up to you at the MTV thing a couple of weeks ago. I shook your hand. I said, that was a very nice performance. You did a beautiful acoustic piano thing. And I said, Drew's mic's still off, by the way, so don't try to talk to him. And I said, hey, it'd be great if you could come on the show whenever you like. I left the open invitation. I didn't know you'd be on this quickly. But we are glad to have you. We consider you a friend of the show. And Drew...
I'm a friend of the show?
A friend of ours. We are the show.
Okay.
All right, please, don't make everything I sound so petty and condescending.
Uh-huh.
You're a friend. We consider you a friend. Do you consider us a friend?
Yes.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you for saying that.
Okay. And Drew really digs you. And that may not mean much to you, but
do you know why
Drew hates everybody.
But do you know why, though? There's a very logical explanation. Because I was raised by therapists. So everything that I say is merely, a regurgitation of what therapists have said to me. I'm actually not a real human being.
No, he does not dig you for your pull and play quality. It's sort of, remember those games you get your kids where you point it at a pig and then you yank the string? Fiona's like that. You just point, you point the little farmer's arm at
Freud. Echo that makes
Freud.
You sound like God now.
Hello.
All right, Mike, what are you doing? Your own show in there? Please. All right, turn the mic on just for 5 minutes. We'll try it as a trial. We'll see how it goes. And where was I? No, Drew, I'll tell you why Drew likes
Fiona.
You. Drew, yeah, why don't you tell the audience why you like Fiona so much?
He has to ask you to tell me why you like me.
No,
why should I tell you why he likes you?
No, because you're just too uncomfortable to tell
I'll
me
I'll tell
why
you
me
why.
Like
you
me.
Want me to tell you why I like you?
Yes.
All right, can I start with Drew? I'll start with Drew, and then I'll warm into myself.
Okay, I understand.
Drew likes you because he sees a lot of... First off, he's seen that you've been through a lot in your life.
Oh, I get it. He doesn't respect me for my intelligence.
He pities you.
He's a therapist, and he wants to save me. That's a new one.
He'd actually like to...
I've never experienced this before.
He'd like to put you in a big jar of formaldehyde and keep you in his basement. No, please, don't... hold on. Engineer Mike, shut Fiona's mic off for a second, too. All right, this way I can talk unobstructed.
Oh, no, okay, yeah.
You know, my ultimate dream is when everyone's mic shut off and the phone lines are shut off, and I just yap for 2 hours straight. That's going to last one show.
Yeah.
All right, don't try to talk.
It'll look like a scene from Frankenstein with people with the
torches. Let me explain, Fiona. Don't. Yeah, it's off.
No,
don't try to talk.
That's
because you're talking too much. Just relax. Let me tell you why Drew likes you.
Turn the mic on.
I'm trying to tell you why Drew likes you.
Invite me here and then shut me
up. Oh, I didn't invite you.
I am a saver. That's my instinct, is to save people.
Right.
It's not a healthy instinct necessarily.
But it's funner to save talented, good-looking people. I mean, that's an element.
Maybe what you're picking up on.
It's no fun saving.
Also, she was very nice to my daughter.
Yes.
Which is huge. It goes very...
Here's a lovely picture of us just before we brought you out on stage in San Jose last weekend.
Oh, look.
All right, so Drew is a bit, he won't admit it, but I think he's a little bit enamored with Fiona. A little bit? I mean, you know, if you're a few years younger and the wife wasn't around and so on and so forth. A few, yeah, you know, 10 years.
But it's bizarre to even think that way when you're, that, you know, I'm twice her age. You can't even, like, it's not even makes sense.
Yeah, I know, but look at Fiona.
Well, but it doesn't make sense, but because, for other reasons, not because they're twice my age, though.
Mm-hmm. Let's explore those other reasons. What's,
I mean, what? We all know that I'm wise beyond my years.
That's
I mean,
true.
Haven't we read that in everything that's ever been written about me?
That's true.
I am wise beyond my years.
I think everyone else
very
is just
mature.
Stupid. But,
yeah, well,
all right, you're very mature for a 20-year-old,
yeah.
Who just turned 20 the other week, by the way.
Yeah.
Drew, why wouldn't you? Would you date Fiona if you were 10 years younger? Drew has an age thing. What's wrong with the age thing right now? You're 39, she's 20.
Drew has a ring thing.
Oh, I have a kid thing, too. But that's beside the point.
Drew has a sane thing.
Yeah, it's not even... Let's listen to music.
Drew, you're falling apart tonight.
No, I've not been feeling well tonight. Yeah, that's part of it. And I knew you'd be attacking me tonight. So
I'm not attacking. I'm just trying to... I'm attacking the truth, Drew. That's all.
Yeah. I suppose... It is so hard for me to even think that way at this point in my life. I'm not thinking...
But just turn the calendar back 10 years.
Anna,
come on. Please, Drew. Come on.
All right, if I say no, you're going to turn it to yes anyway, so yes.
Okay. That's all I want. All right, and what I want to say to you, Fiona, is we have a lot of guests come through these doors, a lot of big-name bands, and Drew could give a rat's ass. He's rarely heard of them, and even if he has heard of them, he doesn't care. There's only a handful of people from the hundreds of guests that we have on the show that Drew truly likes, and you're one
of
them.
That is true.
Well, thank you. Can I ask Drew a question, though?
Yeah.
What does it mean psychologically that Adam here has to voice your expressions? He has to express himself by saying what you think and not what he thinks.
Well, he's getting to his. He's too uncomfortable with his, so he has to make me uncomfortable first, more than he would ever be before he can come up with his level of anxiety.
Now, this is the way Drew feels. I'll speak.
Well, not for you.
Hey, would you like me to speak my mind now?
Yeah, your turn.
You mean what I think of Fiona, honestly?
Yeah.
Very talented. Got a lot of rough waters going beneath the calm veneer.
That's a good thing, though, I think.
It is good for, like, 2 months, if we're talking about, like, a relationship.
Oh, I'm not talking about
I'm talking about a relationship.
Please.
Oh, why are we talking then? Let's just go to the phone. Come on, talking hypothetically.
Okay.
You know.
Yeah.
I mean, I know I'm not your type.
Oh, come on,
I'm not the RC type. I know you need a guy with, like, a tattoo on his nose earring or something like that, right? I'm not the type.
That's my boyfriend, Adam.
Oh, that's your boyfriend? Oh, the card guy?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, he's good.
The card guy.
Oh, he's excellent. Yeah, Fiona's...
My boyfriend excited you.
Fiona's boyfriend is... I don't know much about magic. All I could remember is Marshall Brodeen selling those cards on the Channel 9 when I was 5.5 years old. But this guy is the most amazing card sleight of hand magician I believe I've ever witnessed.
And we each witnessed it for like 2 minutes and our heads exploded.
Absolutely bizarre.
Yeah.
I mean, it is... 100 years ago, he would have been burnt at the stake. 10 years ago, I would have burnt him at the stake.
I was sitting here...
I wanted to burn him at the stake.
And Adam goes, oh my God, that's not magic. That's some kind of wizardry.
Sorcery. That's what he is. He's, I don't know, what's his name?
David Blaine.
Got to change it to Merlin Blaine. This guy is absolutely amazing. Is that what won you over?
No, I mean, not the cards. He's got some stuff going on.
Yay.
That I don't understand.
It seems like he's killed a few people, though. It's a little bit scary. does he have any kind of record? Not that you want to talk about?
I can't really talk.
All right. Let me finish my assessment of Fiona, and then we'll
all right,
go into
some... commercial.
We'll go into calls. Well, Fiona's a big guest. We're here to talk to her.
Unless I talk too much and we
all right, but you
shut her microphone
you
off.
Want me to just, you want me to talk to you as a host or as a man?
You want me to vomit or be comfortable?
No, I mean, seriously. Do you want my host impression of you?
Your host impression of me? You have an impression of me?
Yeah. I mean, what I think of you.
Okay. Well, why don't you give me both?
All right. My host impression is you're a real good guest on this show because you're smart and you got a little sass in you and you got a good sense of humor and you sell records and people want to hear what you have to say and you're young, but you're sharp. And usually you don't get that because usually get the old smart people that no one wants to hear from. Or you get the young idiots who people want to hear from, except for they're bored when they hear what they have to say. Mm-hmm. Fiona's a nice mm-hmm. mixture between, she's writing a demo, and she's real intelligent, real wise.
And I like that. Girl.
Yeah, you're really quite a package. So that's why I like you, and that's why I'm glad to have you on the show.
Thank you very much.
And as a man, obviously, you're a beautiful woman. Probably be a little scary to be in a relationship with Fiona. I'm guessing like kind of a handful. But when things were going good, they're really going good.
You know
that's
what
I'd think.
I'm a cool girl. I'm not such trouble.
You're not? No. I'm guessing, I've used this analogy before, but I would think Fiona would be like a vintage old Jaguar 12-cylinder, which is just the most beautiful thing in the world when it's running, but a little temperamental and in the shop quite a bit.
Yeah, but it's worth it, right?
Yeah, when it's running? Yeah, but you kind of have to have a second car, you know, because...
Oh, no.
You know what I'm saying? Because
you
can't count on the Jag all the time. It's always in the shop. You need a loaner once in a while. You don't go for that.
Sure.
Okay. I'm nothing special. Just like a, just a beat-up pickup truck.
It's fine. I have a very good impression of you now. We really don't need to talk anymore.
All right. John.
Here.
John, you're 18.
Okay, I'm going to try and fit a whole lot of talking into a little bit of time.
Okay. That's what Adam does every night. It seems to take a whole lot of time every time he gets going.
All right, Drew.
Anyways, first of all, I can't believe I'm on the phone with Fiona and Drew and Adam. First of all, Fiona, I'd like to say that I, for one, loved you the first time I heard your voice. And, you got my complete respect and admiration and all that good stuff.
Thank you.
And I'd love to spend more time praising you, but I got a little bit of a problem here. Okay, story of my life goes a little something like this. Me and my mom don't like each other. My brother doesn't like me at all. My dad loves me a lot, and my sisters are indifferent. And I'm caught in a little bit of a situation here. I need to move back to the town where my parents live, but I don't know anybody up there, and I don't got any money, and my mom won't let me move in, and my brother's in jail, and, he beat me up. My dad, he wants to leave my mom, but he doesn't have the cojones, and sort of wondering what I can do here, sort of,
You got the cojones. You can just get out and just make your own life.
That's what it sounds like.
Your dad and your mom live together, right?
Yeah.
But your mom won't let you back in the house.
Right.
All right, you're 18.
You don't want to be back in the house.
Get out of
man.
There.
Well, I got a little legal thing that says I have to go.
What's the legal
thing? See, I'm on probation until I'm 21. They can tell me where to live.
For what?
Huh? Oh, I used to have quite a drinking problem, but...
That's it?
Huh? Well...
Would you get a bunch of 502s or something?
Well, I'd get real drunk and I'd go out and I'd do weird...
Kill?
No.
I see.
I'd, like, kick down a couple of doors and, burglarized a place or two and...
This is teenage angst. I know a lot about this.
Yeah, we sort of had the same upbringing. I mean, I didn't have anything quite as vicious as, what I hear about you, but, I grew up with counselors running me and everything, so.
Is there any way of living with your mom and being able to, like, kind of avoid her?
Not really, because she doesn't have a job. She doesn't do anything but spend my dad's.
Why are they telling you to live with her?
That's bizarre.
Because they're stupid.
All right, but John, here's the situation. You're world-class pain in the ass, right? I mean,
absolutely.
You're making everyone in your family miserable and ashamed. You're worried about your mom. You're worried about your dad. Meanwhile, you are the black sheep of this family. Now, here's what you need to do. You need to grow up, straighten up, and fly right for a few years. You need to go back, live at home because you have no choice right now. You need to kiss your mom's ass because it's her house and because it's your mom and because you screwed up so much you don't have any alternative at this point. And you need to just go out and get involved with stuff and don't ruffle your mom's feathers. See if you can enlist your dad to help you a little bit with your mom. But I'm guessing that your attitude is so effed up, John, that the second you walk in there, you start laying it all over the house like you're wallpapering the place. And she's tired of you. I'd love to hear her side of the story. I'm sure you've done some weird drunken stuff in her presence as well.
No, she's never been around me while I was drinking.
All right, but John, just bite the bullet, go back home, and suck it up for a few years.
You know what I would do? I would get into my own head. I would treat home just like I'd treat school. Because you know that, I mean, whoever's out there, you know that when you go into school, you're not really... You know that what's going on is a little bit of BS, you know?
Right.
And so you kind of get into your own mind, and you got things going on, and, you know, you're developing your own personality and your own, you know, thoughts about things. Do that at home, too.
Well, we're living in a...
just kind of like... You know.
We're living in a society now where people are... they don't want to take any crap from their boss. They don't want to take any crap from their parents. Yeah, sure, I got loaded a few times and kicked in a few doors. My mom's riding me, and that's BS, man. It's like, hey, screw you. Here's the message I'm trying to give everyone in life. Until you can pull your own weight, you can't tell anyone to F off.
Yeah, but you know what? You know what kind of really, really pisses me off? Is the fact that, like, my whole generation, I feel, has this whole pressure on us to save the world from everything that the generations before us have done to screw,
really?
To screw it all up. And we're not allowed to be kids. So, like, this guy's 18 years old, and he's being, like, punished for having drank. But, I mean, you drank.
But it got out of control. That's his deal.
Okay, so I'm not saying that he shouldn't be punished, but I'm just saying that, like, you know, you're saying, you know, don't ruffle her feathers. You're saying, you're just assuming that since he's the 18-year-old, he's the one that's kind of... you know, in the wrong, and that his mom, you know, is
I'm sure his mom is a piece of work. I'm sure his dad's a piece of work. I'm sure his entire family's a piece of work. I'm just saying, when you have no alternative, like when I got tossed out of the house when I was 19, I went to work during construction. I had a Vietnam vet foreman who was hopped up on painkillers, used to, like, cuss at me, and he'd say, go to the truck and get the level out of my truck. And I'd start going for a truck, and he'd start yelling, run to the truck. And I would run. You know why? Because I had no choice. And I didn't sue him, and I didn't get in his face. I just hauled my little hairy ass out to the truck, and I ran back with the level. And I, you know what? I said to myself, I will run to his truck so many times, and then one day I will get myself out of this crap, and I will be yelling at people to run to my truck. And now... I sit up in my house and yell at people to run to my truck.
Get in your own head and absorb it all, but don't pay any attention to it. Like, absorb it all and let it fuel you for the rest of your life. Like, you were pissed off at that man that was telling you to run for the truck, but now look what you're doing, and it's probably partly because of the subconscious angst that you have, you know? You just got to kind of, you know, push on.
That's what I'm saying to him, too. He's just got to bite the bullet for a few years and then make his own way. All right, we got to go to break. We took half a call that break. When we come back, and Fiona, I'm going to give you the break to think about it. We've described what we love about you. You can talk about what you like about Drew and possibly even myself.
Okay.
That sounds fair.
Loveline will be right back on the New Rock Alternative 89X.
And noodles from The Offspring, and you're listening to Loveline with that asshole Adam Carolla and that guy that's full of himself, thinks he always knows what he's talking about, Dr. Drew.
I hate that guy.
I could do better than that.
Very, and you know when he said I could do better than that, he wasn't talking about you or me, he was talking about that drop.
Right.
It's always fun when we have the, like, someone, what's the one where someone's pronouncing my name, or, Tom Arnold. Yeah, don't play that, Mike. That's why Drew loves him so much. Fiona Apple's here tonight. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Fax number 310-854-4455. Title is the name of the CD. It is, it's been out for, has it been out for a year or has it not been a year?
I don't know.
You don't know. You were how old when it came out? We'll do the math.
18.
Oh,
it's been like a year, yeah.
But you're just turning...
No, but I just turned 20, so it's been like a year and a half or something like that. Maybe.
But you're just... Were you just turning 19 when it came out?
I don't know.
Okay. But the point is it's been a real nice build. And the thing that's been... and here's the situation. I can't tell you more about your career than you could tell me, but I can certainly tell you from a outsider's point of view the way it's went. When Fiona came out, it was a big deal because she's got these piercing blue eyes and she's beautiful and she's young and she sings like an old soul. and it was real good stuff. And it made a big splash when it came out. She was just 18 and so on and so forth. And then it seemed to die out a little bit after everyone was over the initial, hey, you know, the new kid in town kind of thing. And now it's been swelling up again, which means that her talent has actually caused that, not just the newness and the novelty of it. Would you say that's accurate? I know it doesn't feel like it to you because you just feel like you've been touring for the last year and a half straight. But to me, it seems like it came out with a bang.
I'll believe you. I really have no idea.
But it just seems like, Drew, wouldn't you say you've been hearing more about Fiona and seeing more about Fiona and all that kind of stuff and the MTV new artists and all that business like in the last like 3 or 4 months?
Yes.
All right. I didn't see the speech. I was not there. I was there, but I was not in the in the room at the time.
You know what
we
should do? We should get in callers that like hate me because of my speech. I should like fight with people on the air. That'd be fun.
Well, I didn't hear it. I was doing blow with Rick James in the bathroom during that part, but I heard that you just came out there and you're just kind of pissed off about life. I don't know.
I wasn't. You know what?
What was it?
I'm sorry, but like, I completely stand behind everything that I said and whatever.
I do, too.
You know what's really funny? I did the Howard Stern show a while back, and this guy from the press called, and it was really, it was funny to me, but in that sad kind of way, because, like, he called up and said, oh, wow, the press room was all laughing at you. Like I was going to break or something and start crying or something or be very upset that the press room was laughing at me. But that's exactly what my whole thing was about. Like, don't care about what other people think about you. I mean, if no one understood what I said, that's fine. I did, and I said what I wanted to say, and that's what life is about.
Oh, I wish I could go through life that way. You don't have quiet moments when you question yourself and think, I shouldn't have said that, or I should have said this, or anything like that.
No, I'm not with the regret thing.
Oh, that's good. It'll set it. And then you'll ignore it again later
on. And I'm going to be cool for the rest of my life.
That's
because
true.
Because I said what I wanted to say at that time. Now for the rest of my life, whenever I want to do something, I'm not going to be afraid. Because I did a good job with, you know, parenting myself in that sense.
Oh, it's the, I can only imagine what that kind of freedom must be like. I have that a little bit, but it, you know, I sit around at night and think about stuff I said or shouldn't have said or, you know, all that kind of crap.
I wouldn't know at the talk. I didn't know that about you.
You know? Well, you know why? Because, Drew, you and I got along, we were thick as thieves immediately because I knew you were the kind of person that I could say whatever I wanted to, no matter how harsh it was, and you wouldn't care.
Right.
And so I seized upon that immediately.
Right.
Now, your wife as well, although she does care, I just don't care. But, anyway, that's why Drew and I get along great, because I yell at Drew, and Drew goes, yeah, all right. Or he just walks away, or he doesn't care.
That's a shrink thing.
Oh, it is?
Yeah. Oh, please. You would agree with that, wouldn't you?
Yeah. But it's a personal thing, too, for me, too. I mean, I don't care. Right. I mean, I don't take these personally.
No, right.
All right, so Fiona, back to us.
Yeah.
What do you think? I mean, you want to give us your assessment. You've done a lot of radio shows. You've done a lot of TV shows. You've been hounded by the press, I'm sure.
She used to like this show before tonight.
Quiet down, Drew. We've talked about our feelings.
Turn off his mic.
We've been talking. That was Fiona, Mike. Don't pay attention to her. We've been we've told you about our feelings for you.
Okay.
Describe us.
I like you guys a lot.
Mm-hmm.
I do.
And why?
Because I like the way you play with me, because you got a little sass in you a little bit, too, you know?
Yeah.
But I just learned tonight that he sits home and broods about things he said.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
I guess I don't like you. Sorry.
All right. Hey, Drew, shut Drew's mic off. All right. I'm sorry, Fiona. Continue. I got a little sass in me.
You got a little sass in you. You know, you're pleasant to be around. And you're yet, there's a little bit of you that you can't understand, which is very mysterious, which is very alluring.
I like that.
You're likable.
Well, thank you. And what about Drew? What about my partner? Drew's over here?
Drew's cool, and you know that Drew's cool because, like, I'm pretty judgmental of people, you know, and especially of people that, like, you know, judge other people's minds and not judge, but, you know, I got my little history with, you know, therapy.
Right, you used to go to your therapist.
He's cool. He's, you know, his children are set. They've got a good dad, you know.
Oh, yes. They certainly do, and they got a good uncle. That's me, Drew. All right, you can turn Drew's mic on now. We'll take a call. Well, thank you for the compliments. Even though we had to pry it out of you, like Princess Di leaving a Mercedes.
Nice.
Okay, come on.
You know what?
What?
Congratulations. I admire that. You're very cool.
Oh, well, please. I mean, Mother Teresa's death was a much bigger deal in terms of... Well, probably not, because Mother Teresa was done doing her work.
I think that Princess Di represented something very cool, which is she was in a position of power and money, and she used it responsibly and benevolently.
Yeah.
And that's very rare. Most people, they get their money, and they forget about the rest of the world, and she did not, and that's very cool.
You can't argue
with that.
Listen, I don't think she was a bad person by any stretch of the imagination. I think she was a real good person.
Oh, I know. You're just measuring whose death is more important.
I would say Mother Teresa did.
Since that's your position in this world, is to measure whose life is more valuable than...
I'm a yardstick. I'm a morbid yardstick. I measure whose lives were more impactful on society after they're dead.
Okay.
And I'm going with Mother Teresa on this one. Because this Princess Di did a lot of good work. Took a few too many holidays for me. Always seemed to be on holiday. That was the only thing. She died when she was out on holiday. We did a lot of holidaying. That was my only thing about that. Mother Teresa didn't take those holidays. You never saw any pictures with her on the French Riviera in a cigarette boat.
I don't think anyone really wanted to see Mother Teresa in her bathing suit.
Should have worn her one piece. She's very tasteful. Oh, yeah. No, I would have done Mother Teresa just to say, you know.
She was much more really involved. Genuinely herself, personally invested in human suffering, as opposed to creating circumstances and marketing that assisted people in need.
Yeah, Princess Di did a lot of great stuff, but she didn't get her hands dirty like Mother Teresa did. Karen.
Hi.
Hey, you're 23.
Hi, how are you guys doing?
Good.
I like the way you tell people how old they are when they call.
I'm telling the listeners how old they are.
Adam, you're 4 years old.
No, I mean, I should probably phrase it a different way. Karen is 23. She's on the Loveline Radio Network. What's going on, Karen?
First of all, I want to tell you guys I love you both. And Fiona, you're a great songwriter. I think you're a great role model for girls that have been through, you know, hard things in their life. And they think they're never going to make anything. And
thank you.
Very good for them.
Thank you.
Role model. I had a really dumb question. Basically, I'm like 23, as we said, and I've never had a boyfriend. I've never ever kissed anybody, did anything sexual. And I've heard of this thing called the Peter Pan syndrome, whatever that is, and I'm just very, very childish for my age. And I was wondering what's going on.
I don't know. Can women get the Peter Pan syndrome?
Well,
I thought that was a guy thing.
Yeah, it's a
but
guy
you
thing.
Want a boyfriend, right?
I think I do, but then whenever I get together with a guy and I go out, I get really, like, I start acting really, really childish until they just get, they lose interest or whatever. It's like I want to push it away. It's like I have no hormones. It's just weird. I don't have any sexual feelings or whatever. It's like,
what about for girls?
No, nothing.
What a nice try, Fiona. That was my next question. So, Karen, you're a virgin.
Yeah.
And how much physical contact have you had with a man? Zero.
Zero.
You've kissed a man, though.
No.
Oh, really?
That's what's so weird.
I tell you, you haven't lived until you've kissed a man.
So, that's what everybody's telling me. But.
Wow. So, and this is not because of any religious conviction or anything like that?
No.
What's your family like?
Well, I live with my mom. My dad died when I was 8.
Mm-hmm. There you go.
I don't know. I guess that could have something to do with it, but it's...
All right. Here's my assessment of Karen very quickly. Obviously, dad dying at 8 is very traumatic to a young child. And this is the primary male in her life. Mm-hmm. He is taken away from her very abruptly. And she's scared to reconnect with any male for fear he'll be taken away.
A friend of mine who had his mother die at a young age said it's just like if you were in a restaurant with candles and the candles flipped over and the whole place caught on fire, you saw a bunch of people die. It's whenever you see candles now, you just back away. You know, you can't have any interest to get near the candles.
Right.
Were you close to your dad before he died?
Well, he was traveling a lot. I didn't really see him that much. It's just that, I don't know, it's like if my brain stopped at 8. Like, I totally act like I'm
right.
An 8-year-old.
Well, that's sort of typical of what happens when humans are traumatized. If something heavy happens to you emotionally, it blocks your further development. You're kind of stuck there. because it's too painful to move along.
Yeah.
Too painful to get through those feelings that are preoccupying you.
The only thing that worries me, it's like I'm afraid that when I'm going to finally meet the right guy, I'm just going to push him out.
Don't worry about the guy fixing you.
I don't think that you need to worry at all. In fact, I think it's necessary for you not to worry, because if you're going to ever experience any kind of sexual pleasure, it's going to be because you're going to feel good about yourself and you're going to be relaxed, you know? And if you start worrying about it, you know, it could be all these psychological things, it could be all these deep-rooted things, but it could also be that you just didn't meet anybody that you were attracted to. It could be, you know? It's not, like, unheard of for somebody to be 23 and not have kissed a guy. You know, you can be...
No, but when you then match that against her dad dying at 8, you see that there's something going on here.
Yeah, but we match that here on the show. You know, it doesn't necessarily mean, you know, just because your dad dies when you're 8 doesn't mean that you're going to be scared of connecting with a man, you know?
It's not necessarily true, but it's probably true. And that's all we're doing is playing the odds here. Drew? Please, don't leave me hanging out here.
And the question in my mind is, what can she... She's complaining that she feels like she has arrested her development. So that's her sense of herself.
Well, do you have sexual desires at all, or is it just like when you're with guys?
I'm
extremely
childish. I'm just... When I'm around guys, I'm everybody's friend and everything. And I just act like I'm a little girl, and guys just go like, whatever.
She's aware of it. She's aware
of it. I think she's stuck at 8.
Yeah. And I thought... Could Peter Pan syndrome be?
No, there are all kinds of oversimplifications of very complex.
Peter Pan's, did his parents get killed? What happened to Peter Pan?
Oh, he's a boy forever. He goes to Neverland and never grows up.
That's kind of...
True, you're watching way too much Disney with the kids.
Oh, yes.
I got to wean you off to Disney and onto the porn.
I want to go see all these Disney movies, and I'm just very childish, and I'm afraid I'm never going to find somebody that's going
to
be like...
All right, Karen, we got to go to break. Mm-hmm. Here's what I'm going with. You're stuck about the time that your dad passed away, and until you deal with that trauma, I think you're going to have a hard time moving on.
I got to say something about dealing with the trauma, though, because not everybody's going to be able to go to a therapist.
Mm-hmm.
That's true.
I have some advice.
Go ahead.
Right. It
journal.
Really helps.
Journal your
journal. Point. Write anything or anything that satisfies you as an expression of how you feel. Because when you write it out, it clarifies it in your mind, and you understand yourself better. And that's
a good point. I have written many an angry letter and never ended up sending it because by the time I was done writing the letter, I was done.
There also is. I think what you're also alluding to is that there, creativity is a solution to a lot of human problems. So the creative solution and expression can help.
Okay. That's good advice. Drew, why don't you sell the hell out of the next call?
Oh, there's always Adam call. Here you go, Adam. Adam, there is a holiday that honors masturbation, okay?
Oh, yeah, because I was pulling for this a few days ago where I wanted a national holiday where people, I can't remember, have yourself day or something. We weren't going
to
work.
You get to stay home from school and masturbate all day.
Well, not only do you get to stay home from school, but I'd get to stay home from work and you wouldn't have to play that night.
And extra credit and stuff.
Yeah, I mean, it wouldn't exactly be called masturbation day. But that would be a very strong undercurrent of the holiday.
It'd be like self-appreciation.
Well, here's what you did. You would stay home and masturbate and then just suck whipped cream right out of the can.
If that's what you wanted to do.
If that's what you wanted to do. You know what I mean? Like, you pour yourself a big bowl of Jelly Bellies
remember your soda from sweets. Some people are not that prone to that stuff.
All right. I'm just saying.
His trauma of childhood was being deprived of sweets.
Whatever your thing was.
Basically, introducing the entire me decade into a day and saying, indulge yourself and respect yourself and appreciate yourself and
get it out of your system. Go to the beach. Whatever it is you want to do.
Right. Because most of the people in this world that are assholes are those that don't pleasure themselves and therefore, you know, have a buck up their
right.
ass.
Right. More masturbating, more smoking pot, and more pleasuring yourself. And I think we'd have a saner world. We'll be back after this. Loveline will be right back on the New Rock Alternative, 89X.
Hi, this is Nev Campbell, and you're listening to Loveline with Adam Carolla and Dr. Drew.
Hey, you know what? I think I'm doing a movie with Nev Campbell.
No.
Yes.
What are you, the guy, bartender number three?
Big part.
What?
I'm going to find out the details tomorrow morning. Yes.
Oh, she is going to, well, she's not in NFL anymore.
It's just, it's Scream 3, and all it is, it's Adam.
Screaming.
It's Adam expressing all of his demented logic.
Congratulations,
And Nev just kind of screaming at him.
No, artsy, low budget, good script, and all that kind of stuff. Yeah. Like a real movie.
Congratulations.
All right.
What are you doing it?
I don't know. Going in tomorrow to figure out the schedule and everything.
Just before he becomes a director.
But it was just sad. I was kind of talking a little smack about her on the air. Not on this show, but on another show.
This morning?
No, not this morning, but...
this morning you were talking smack about me.
Oh, I was?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that's right. Okay, good. But anyway, this was this is like the morning, and then the afternoon, I walked into a little room to do this callback for this audition. I opened the door, and Nev Campbell was standing in there, and I almost took a dump in my pants. Because there's nothing scarier than that, what you hear or what anybody tell her feeling when you don't know, and then you don't know if you should offer something up or just wait
apologize
for a little while. Yeah. I don't think she know. Okay. Fiona Apple's here. Yeah. Okay, Mike. We're going to play, is Michael leaning on you? No. Okay. So we went to high school together. I can tell the F right off. I have to. We're going to hear something off a title. You know, we're just going to hear one song, though, right? Fiona's tired of hearing her own music. I'm just making that statement because I like talking to Fiona, and I think it's such a good show, and I hate to break it up with music. Even Fiona's good music.
Yeah,
that was a little backtracking.
If you play my music, then see, more people will know me, and then I'll be like a little bit more famous, and that will mean that I'm a better person, and then everyone will like me a little bit more.
I know, but I don't. I know you're being facetious there, but I don't want you to get too big and too out of control because we'd like you to come back. You know what I mean?
I'm not going to get
We've seen that happen before in the show where people get a little out of control and then their people start calling the show saying, the show's a little beneath them and so on and so forth. And, I just don't want you to get too big. Medium big will be fine.
Life is about fun and this is fun, so I'm not going to get,
Good.
You can't get too big for fun.
Hey, put that on a cart, Engineer Mike. You can't get too big for fun. I love that.
That's been Adam's motto his whole life.
All right, because you can't get too big for fun... It is, because you made that statement, we are going to play Criminal off of the title CD. I'm sure it's went, has it gone platinum by now?
Yes!
Yes! And it's fun to make money, too. Here it is. about having a good time and doing what you want to do and all that. Fiona's got one more break here, and then she's...
You know what? That's what criminal's about, too.
It is?
It's about pleasuring yourself and kind of feeling a little bit bad about it, but doing it anyway.
Well, why don't you pleasure yourself a little more and stay like till like 11:30?
You know, it's really low of you to ask me that on the air.
It really is. No, I'll ask you off the air. You do. No, we're all right. Actually, Drew and I don't like guests.
Luke wants me to stay now.
I know. It just seems like...
Look who's being all friendly.
All right. We got to go to break, but let me just say this, Fiona. You're a little standoffish, you know?
No, I'm not.
Yes, you are. And so people see that and they go, I don't want to get in line. I don't want to get shot down. I'll give her space. And then you give your space and now you're pissed off.
I'm really not standoffish, though. I really believe that I was born with unfortunate facial expressions that make people think that I'm really not. I'm like, I'm fine.
All right, this is an interesting point. We got to go to break because I get accused of this, too, believe it or not. And
I'm shocked.
Yeah, you know, producer.
I think I just accused you of it by saying that you didn't like me.
All right, that's good.
Right.
When we come back, we will address this and then take many calls. Thank you.
Love line. Be right back. Austin.
Love line on the New Rock Alternative, 89X. It is Loveline. I'm Adam Carolla. That's Dr. Drew. She is Fiona Apple, and we will be back in 10 seconds.
This is Loveline on
Radio Station.
89X, the new rock alternative.
Loveline, phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Let's see, next week, Buck 09, Our Lady Peace, Olive.
How's that?
You're not hip to Olive, Drew?
Popeye's girlfriend?
Oh, please, Drew. They're very hot, that band,
Drew
Olive.
Drew Carey next week.
The Cramps, Drew Carey, someone from Men Behaving Badly.
I never seen his show, but I saw him in an interview last night.
He's very funny. Yeah.
And Everclear will be here. Finally, we will be reunited with our long-lost brethren, Art. And had lunch with, or dinner with Dickie from the Boston tonight. So our other brethren, he gives his regards to you, Drew. Actually, he didn't bring your name up. That's just radio talk.
Oh, you're so in the scene.
I really am. Swinging with the Boston. All right. And tonight, swinging with Fiona Apple. Fiona, before we go back to the calls.
And as you suspect, Adam was pretty much left out in high school.
No, I was actually quite popular in high school.
You have a girlfriend?
I was on the football team, Fiona. I was all Central Valley, you know. It's quite an athlete.
I have an idea for cheerleaders for this radio station, and they'll be called the KRO Cuties.
Oh, that's good. That's how Drew met his wife. I swear to God, wasn't your wife like wrangling the bikini team 10 years ago?
Yeah, she managed it.
She wasn't on the bikini team.
She was on top of the pyramid, and Drew walked by and looked up, and
looked up, and it was love. She didn't wax. Drew looked up, and it was love. All right, Fiona. Yes. Let me just ask you before we go back to the phones. What's going on with the next album? Have you started work on it? Are you nursing songs in your head? How does that go?
Well, I don't have a piano around most of the time, so it's hard to write, but I got it all in my head. So I'm ready to go into the studio and everything, but I'm not actually ready, but to me that's ready. I like to go in when I'm not ready, because I think that's cool.
When do you think you're going to do that?
You know what? I really don't even know when I'm going to be able to, sleep for a whole 8 hours, so I'm not really actually sure.
All right, Fiona.
As soon as I have the chance, probably like at the beginning of the next year.
All right, but here's the deal. Don't get on the treadmill and kill yourself, you know? You're 20. You got a nice career going.
Yeah, but my career depends on me suffering and complaining.
I know. You can suffer. Listen, I work 2 hours a day and complain for the 2 hours that I'm working.
Oh, yeah.
You can do it. Believe me.
If he's not napping or...
I sleep till noon. I masturbate till 2:30 in the afternoon.
That's why I liked him, because he said that when you get rich, you can't be funny anymore because you can't complain anymore.
Oh, no.
Nothing to complain
about.
Well,
actually, I'm not rich, but I make a good living. I barely work, and
well,
I still complain.
Well, there are those of us that are gifted
Thank
enough
you.
To be as negative, you know, fortunately negative enough to, you know, be able to complain forever.
Thank you. All right. And maybe I could do a little spoken word something on your next CD.
I'll write a speech for you. I'm very good at that.
Could you do that? Yeah.
I've been renowned for my speech writing.
I'll revise the MTV speech. I'll put it in my own words. Lindsay.
Hello?
Hey, you're 13.
Hi.
I mean, Lindsay's 13, and she's calling from God knows
you're
what.
You're 13!
I'm calling from Oregon.
Okay.
First, I want to say, Fiona, I really love your music. I think you're amazing.
Thank you.
You're welcome. And I love your guys' show. I listen to it religiously.
Thanks.
But I called for Adam last week when he was saying that he wanted to have a National Masturbation Day.
Yes.
I wanted to tell him that someone already beat him to it, and there's already a National Masturbation Month.
Hold on a second. Somebody beat me to the National Masturbation Day. Yeah. Where is that?
Have you ever, by the way, there's a, I don't know if this is facetious or not, but have you seen the Culver City Meat thing down the street here? They have those big trucks lined up when we leave the radio station.
No. I'm so fixated on the amazing amount of arrows that you have to wait to turn green to get out of this godforsaken Culver City dump that I never see anything else.
They have trucks lined up there usually around midnight when we leave, and it's this cow, and it's very serious. It says, nobody beats our meat.
Oh, yeah, down that way. It's true.
Did you notice that?
Yeah, I've seen the place. You're talking about on Robertson and Venice.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, Drew, you pointed that way. You pointed towards Santa Monica.
All right, this way.
No, it's
they
that
playing
way.
It off like they're serious, but really they're geniuses because they just got a whole lot of publicity.
Yeah, I always see guys standing out there in hard hats smoking, and I'm thinking to myself, I did construction for 12 years, never put a hard hat on. Why do you got to wear a hard hat in to cut ribs? I always see guys wearing hard hats who work at those those rendering plants or those slaughterhouses. They must have a real strong union, because why do you need a hard hat working around a dead cow?
OSHA.
What is the worst case scenario with a dead cow? What's he going to do, drop a hoof on your head or something? All right, Lindsay?
Yeah?
See why I can complain?
What? I love complaining.
All right, so where's this masturbation thing?
Well, either, I can't remember who, but Victoria's Secret or an LA sex store started it. It's like nationwide. And it's in April. And I'm paraphrasing, but they said that it was like one of America's most practiced sports or hobbies. And the day is April 5th, I think.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I'm going to start saving up.
All right.
All right, Lindsay, anything else?
No.
No, all right. You're 13. Stop talking so much about masturbation.
I just thought you were going to hear about it, Adam.
All right. I appreciate it, Lindsay.
You're welcome.
Okay. Adam.
As if we needed a holiday designated for it.
20-year-old Adam.
Yeah, that's me.
What's going on?
I wanted to say, Fiona, I really love your music.
Thank you. You guys are only letting in the positive calls. You're protecting me.
No, we certainly are not.
Thank you.
There's a complaint for Loveline coming up. I'll go that way.
Oh, there is. Okay, good. Adam, what do you want?
Yeah, I just wanted to say that, I don't know, there was this guy on, like, maybe 2 or 3 days ago, and he was talking about how he was, like, feeling, like, kind of suicidal. And, like, if nothing happened in his life, by the time he was 30, he was going to kill himself or something.
Right. Remember that guy?
No. I was probably digging the Insane Clown Posse's vibe so much at that point, I didn't know what the call was. Yeah?
Yeah, so anyway, I think I have that same thing, you know.
You're depressed.
Yeah, just really, just like, you know, I don't know, it's just kind of like a really, like, kind of like trapped kind of feeling.
You're contemplating suicide.
Yeah.
You ever tried suicide, Fiona?
I've never tried it, but I've contemplated it.
Oh, you have? Okay.
Of course.
Seriously contemplated?
I don't think I'd be able to really, like, I would have a problem with the methods of doing it, but I've definitely thought at times that it really wasn't that big a deal to be alive. But then again, there's this thing, the thing about hope is that there's no way of, you know, getting a warning for it. You don't know that it's coming, so you can't really, that's what faith is about, you know, it's about,
that you're going to have hope.
Yeah. Because hope is kind of something that just appears out of nowhere, and you never expect it, and it usually happens when you don't expect it.
What about
it,
happiness? You know? Does that then follow, or should you expect that?
Happiness, you know what? I think that the whole world has a completely screwed up idea of happiness. Honestly,
this
I really
does.
Do.
This country
Yeah,
does.
Okay. This country, which is what I know. You know, you'll be happy when you realize that everything's okay the way that it is. Because what else can it be? Everything's fine. Everything will be fine. You know? You'll go on with your life. Everything is adventure. There's no way to screw it up. Whatever happens that goes wrong, you'll correct, you know. But
there are sort of elements of people need to be happy. I think what we forsake in this country is that you need other people, and you need them in real ways to be happy.
I mean,
no?
Oh, of course.
But that's not being... They're really touted in our country. Our country is that you need your Nikes and your good car, and you need to feel good about yourself, and you'll do that if you have the right things and the right clothes.
But the real thing to make you feel good about yourself is when you can express yourself and have somebody respond to you in a caring way and feel like what you think and what you feel matters.
Hold on, I think Adam's killed himself. Adam, you still alive?
Yeah, I just wanted to say I agree with what Drew was saying about relationships.
Yeah,
because I'm 20 years old. But I've never really been in a relationship before.
Well, I'm not necessarily talking about an intimate relationship, though those are important. Sometimes friendships are sufficient to sustain you. You need genuine relationships, and ultimately,
That's what I'm saying.
And ultimately, you will have a relationship with an intimate relationship. It will happen. You know, no matter how poorly you think of yourself right now, and I don't know if we'll have the time to get into why you feel so bad about yourself.
Hey, I was miserable when I was 22. I think a lot of people are. Sorry, Fiona. But, you know, somewhere, for me, between the ages of, like, say, 18 and 23, tough years.
For everybody. Even if you feel good about yourself, people are tough. That's a tough transition.
All right, so Adam?
Yeah?
You're not the only person that feels this way.
No. If, though, let me just put a plug in for responsibility. If you are experiencing suicidal thoughts, that is not a normal state, and that is a symptom of how severe your depression is. And I wouldn't take those symptoms lightly. I wouldn't keep them to myself. I would talk to them, to your parents or school, somebody who can get you to assistance should it become the case that you need it. And indeed, there are effective treatments out there and can help you. You needn't suffer with these things because there's things that can be done.
Hey, I relied on my friends quite a bit when I was younger. Fiona, do you have friends?
I have many friends. I have good friends.
Did you back...
when you were 20?
Back in the day. Yeah, I was going to say when you were 20. That was 3 days ago. I mean, grown up, you had a tough childhood. You were a little bit troubled. Did you have a lot of friends when you were 16?
I think I didn't really know who my friends were, you know? And I think that that's a big thing a lot of people go through. And I think that I was just kind of... I mean, I remember being in a time where I was absolutely obsessed with finding a best friend, and I wanted this best friend to be like, I wanted just to be me and my best friend, and I was so obsessed with it, and I kept on hooking on to people and just latching onto them and realizing that, you know, they didn't, I had a bad
neither of them made friends.
Yeah, right.
Okay. That's what I thought. Pat.
Yeah.
41-year-old Pat, you're now on Loveline.
Hey. Well, yes, I'm calling to complain.
Great.
I'll be part of the complaint club tonight. I've been listening to you guys pretty regularly since about February or March. I have an 18-year-old daughter and a 13-year-old son. Something I see as a glaring omission from some of the advice that you give to kids is when they call up, like that guy last night who really could not converse too well with you, and he said, oh, he's got a domineering mother. And you kind of, you got a domineering mother without exploring what that means. As a parent, I think this is a problem because, what does that mean? They don't clean their room, or the mother tells them to clean their room, or the mother beats them.
Well, hold on a second. That guy was 31, and we were trying to converse with him, but he was inconversible.
I agree.
Feel guilty when you discipline your kids?
Nope.
You shouldn't.
No, I don't.
Do you strike your kids or anything like that?
No.
Okay.
No, my problem is that I don't like hearing on the program when someone calls up and says, I have a domineering parent, and what I hear is,
Well, now, I'm just going to explore.
Hey, well, hold on a second,
hang
Pat.
On.
Oh, let me talk to Pat
first. Explore with her. What
I'm exploring. Relax. Shut Drew's mic off for a second.
Do not.
Pat.
Yes?
Wasn't it about a half hour ago I was yelling at an 18-year-old kid to mind his folks and to bite the bullet and to play nice?
Yeah.
And he described his mother as sort of evil and difficult, and I said, you got to live in the house and you got to kiss some ass and stop having so much attitude.
Yeah. And it's his fault.
Good. I agree with that.
All right. So what are you complaining about?
What I'm complaining about is when they say the mom is evil, and you don't say how, because she makes you clean your room or because she beats you. So all these kids across the country that are listening to you.
Pat, we always ask that question. And here's the difference. Adam has used the term, what's the word she just used?
Domineering.
Domineering. Yeah. And really what we're looking for is intrusive. That's what we're sort of exploring, is whether or not it's a mother that allows the person to be a separate individual with whom the parent has respect for and allows the individuation to occur. That's different than being aggressive or disciplinarian or being abusive. These are all different qualities of parenting, and we try to call out which kind we're talking about.
All right, but let's talk about Pat for a second, because
let's talk about Pat.
Here's what's going on for a second here, Pat. There's a couple issues. A, whatever it is you're accusing us of is not really something that we do. So that must mean that it's striking a chord in you, and that means there's an issue going on. Plus, I can hear your voice.
This is my usual voice.
All right. Well, that was created somewhere a long time ago. Where's hubby?
Pseudobulbar paralysis.
Where's hubby?
Well, he's at a business function tonight.
Mm-hmm. Now, you guys have been married for quite some time?
Yep.
And do your kids have a problem with you being over-domineering?
No.
So,
I have a daughter who started Cal Poly San Luis Obispo, and is a fabulous person and thinks I'm a fabulous mom, and I have a 13-year-old son who, we have...
I got something to say here.
My daughter, by the way, loves you.
Everything that's going
on
here...
The acorn does fall far from the tree, as it turns out.
Everything that's going on here, I see no problem. You know, the bottom line is that there's some kids out there that... you know, they're calling up this show because this show is a place where they can actually say what their problems are and someone actually is going to listen. And it's cool also that you can call up and complain about it, you know?
Well, I
mean...
Yeah. I agree with that. I would just like when they call up and say, my mom's domineering, I would like that explored as much as...
talking about in respect to, like, the mother, just so that we can understand exactly what it is, or just for the kids, to take kids' problems seriously?
Sorry? I didn't hear...
Who are you concerned for? Are you concerned for the mother or the kid?
I'm concerned for my daughter's friend who's sitting at home listening to the radio going, oh, yeah, my mom's domineering, too, and it's not the same kind of thing.
All right. Again, we're trying to...
We've gone long enough with that.
Let me clarify. It's intrusive versus abusive versus discipline.
Listen, each call is handled on its own merits. It depends on who we're talking to. Obviously, we can't question somebody when somebody... we can't question the person they're speaking of. When somebody says, my mom is over-domineering and I feel suffocated, et cetera, et cetera, we have to take their word for that and move on with their problem. We can't get a rebuttal from mom who has to come in and
explore.
Present her.
We will always be sensitive to
we weren't. I'm plenty sensitive enough. Are you kidding? I just yelled at an 18-year-old, goofball, Pat. I just yelled at the guy to mind his mom, didn't I?
Yes, you did.
Well, how much more sensitive does a guy have to be?
Basically, it ain't family court. You call in, you say your problems, and we're on your side, right?
Right.
No, we usually...
But you got to, kind of believe, unless...
Right, you got to make certain assumptions.
Right. Yeah. Victoria.
Hi, Adam. Hey, Drew.
Hi,
Victoria.
How's it going? I just wanted to say...
Oh, hi there.
You guys are great.
Thanks.
Anyway, I think it's a great forum, and I think you do a great service for the teens of America today.
Thank you.
And I just called to congratulate you and just say great. And Fiona, I love you. You're my idol.
Oh,
I loved your MTV Video Award speech.
Thank you.
I thought it was awesome.
Thank you.
You didn't kiss butt to your agent. You didn't, try to win everyone's heart with Diana. You just said what you had to say and won my heart personally.
Thank you.
And that's all I wanted to say.
Thank you, Victoria.
Adam was saying he felt the same way about the Spice Girls when I dedicated
it. See, now I got to say something about myself. I got to congratulate myself, because this girl would not have spoken up about how she felt unless I had said what I said and some people didn't like what I said. That's what you got to do. You just got to stir it up. Doesn't matter exactly what you do. You just got to stir it up and make people talk. I like people thinking for themselves. That's why I like to complain.
And people don't actually care anyway. They just want something to talk about and some place to focus their negative energy.
I see great danger. I see great danger of this entire, nation turning into a bunch of sheeps that are just following, media and magazines and things like that. And all I want is for people to just remember that the real deal is what's in your own head. The real deal is what really matters, is not, all of this
hype.
Yeah.
Well, this is why I never read, Fiona. Thank you for illustrating that point. Maria.
Yeah, hi.
Hey, you're 17. You're on with Fiona Emma.
I love you, sir, your show, guys, and I just want to talk to Fiona.
Hey.
I started reading Maya Angelou because of you. I'm going to get the book tomorrow.
Oh, cool.
Yes. And I was wondering, I was reading the newspaper that you're going to be on tour.
Yeah.
Are you going to stop by here in L.A.?
In L.A.?
Yeah.
Oh.
When are you going to make it out to L.A.?
I have, wow. Do you know that I'm, the last person to know about these things, and I'm exactly the wrong person to ask?
They're making sign,
ridiculously enough,
sign language.
They're making sign language.
Well, I wrote to your management things, but I haven't...
December?
Which month? October 2nd.
December.
No, December?
12th, true.
December...
October.
In December,
it's October.
All right, December, doesn't need to know the day.
Great.
Be around early December.
All right.
You'll know it because you'll be back on the show plugging it.
All right.
All right. Fiona's got to go. We can talk for just another second, though. One thing we never did get to is, I think we're talking about it right before we went to break, about 11 o'clock, which is. I think people's perception that sometimes I'm aloof or standoffish, or mean or what have you. Mm-hmm. I'm like you are in certain ways. I don't talk too much unless it's someone I really want to talk to, and I just sort of let people do their thing.
Can I just say this?
Yes.
To make us both feel better about this, because lots of people will say that we're aloof and, snobby or shy or whatever, and we'll get frustrated because we'll be misunderstood. But the thing is that we have tact.
Ah, that's good. And I was
not Adam. No.
Tact. No, I can't
no.
have that.
Well, okay, yeah.
Tact
right.
is.
I'm sorry. Forget it.
All right, but let me. I think you're mixing tact and tacky. But
we just don't talk.
To talk.
Hear ourselves talk.
Well, there's a lot of comedians who just do nothing. They can't turn off the comedy.
Is it China?
I can't turn it on. Actually,
is it China? By the way,
is it what for me?
Yes.
Or
is it
China? Yeah, I'm shy.
Know.
I am.
I am too. Is it?
I'm not shy.
You're never shy?
I'm not shy. I'm really, really, a lot of people think that I'm shy, and I think that I was convinced of that for a while, listening to other people's opinions of me, but I'm not shy. I just don't talk when I don't need to talk.
Drew, we addressed this about a week and a half ago, and here's basically what I figured out. If you're good-looking and slender like Fiona, and you don't talk, your bitch is full of yourself. If you're big and fat and you don't talk, everyone feels sorry for you. Oh, look at her. Come here, talk. Oh, look at that. They feel so badly about their self-image that society has squashed their voice. This is horrible, you poor dear. They don't like that. But that's why fat people always talk. Fat people are never quiet. You ever think about that, Drew? Look at Dom DeLuise.
Not quiet.
Okay. All right, enough of my bizarre
really,
rant.
I'd like to hear you elaborate on that theory.
Oh, he will.
Fiona, I swear to God, if you were 270 pounds and covered with pimples and you had frizzy hair and you sat and kept yourself, people would say, that poor dear. Somebody go up and talk to
Once
her.
I was out of high school, people would say that. When I was in high school, I don't think that anyone would be feeling bad for me. I think they'd all be kind of,
That's an interesting point. When people are cruel at certain ages of development.
Well, that's true.
But then they make up for it later by feeling sorry for all the people they abused.
Right, going overboard.
You had somebody in your high school actually died of, right?
Well, she killed herself.
Because she was so badly abused all the way through.
She, not in high school, but years after high school, her name was Stephanie, she'd just been kicked around for so many years that I heard she killed herself later on. And then I thought about it, and I thought, I was really relieved that I never kicked her around, because in a way, everyone who kicked her around was somewhat, it's not murder one, but it's murder 1,000. You know what I mean? You're a little bit responsible. You're one sleeping pill in the 100 that you took if you were part of the kicking process. Anyway, on that grim note.
Wait, you know what, though?
What?
I got to do this. I got to do this.
Go
Before
ahead.
Before I go, I have to say something about what I did say at the MTV Awards, because I'd like people to actually understand what I was meaning. And it has to do with what we were saying, like when we were during break, and I said that I think that Hollywood is a bunch of people that were misfits in high school that are trying to relive that situation and trying to become the absolute ultimate cool senior clique of the world, which is Hollywood. And what I was saying on my speech was that I just don't like that mentality that we all have now, that you know, one is cooler than the other one, that, like, people, you know, when you're in high school and you're the freshman, you know, you think that the seniors got better lives, you think that they have a higher quality of living, and you feel bad about yourself, and they let you feel bad about yourself, and they make you feel bad about yourself to make themselves feel better. And then all of us who were freaks, we come out and we get into Hollywood, and all of a sudden everybody thinks that we're so cool, and everybody on the other side of the TV starts feeling like freshmen all over again. And I don't like that that's the way that the world works. I don't like that everything, for most of people to make themselves feel good, they have to push other people down, and I just don't believe it. And I personally think that everyone that doesn't like my speech either didn't listen, or they just want people to
feel just tell them they can kiss your ass. Go ahead. It'll feel good.
Kiss my ass, Adam.
Oh, there you go. Jesus, Engineer Mike. He sits there with his thumb in his ass for three quarters of the show, and then, pow, he pulls a rabbit out of it. All right, well, there you go. We got it on card. Fiona Apple, thank you very much. Title's the name of the CD. Get some rest, and seriously, don't get run around too much.
Okay.
We want you fresh, and I guess when you're back in town in December, you will grace us with an appearance.
Yes, of course.
Assumption Adam's making.
Thank you. Okay. And you know what? Me and Fiona are going to hug during the commercial.
Okay.
Is that cool?
Yes, because I like you, and you like me.
And we can do it.
And we're not shy.
Love Line will be right back. Why? Because we like you.
Love Line will be right back on the New Rock Alternative 89X.